Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Renee. I'm a compulsive debtor, spender, and under-earner. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Oh, it's dark up here. Well, I'm going to do something a little different than you probably would normally hear for spending plan, because I want to give you a little bit of a preface on why I do my spending plan the way that I do, a little bit of my story first, and hopefully it won't be too long, but anyway, I want to just tell you, I came into DA in 1996, in May, and I really didn't believe that there was any way that I could get out of debt, let alone live one day without overspending or debting. And life pretty much had no meaning because I just didn't feel like there was any hope for me anymore. And I didn't believe that my dreams could ever come true. And I thought the only way out of my debt, unfortunately, in my mind, was if I inherited money. That was the only way I could think of, and I felt very sad and ashamed about that. But when I came into DA, I think I got it right away that I was debting against myself. And people sometimes said that was kind of a cop-out, but I still believe that. I didn't believe it for a while, but when I come back to it, I think it's a program of self-care and how I would deprive myself and debt against myself. And I really don't believe I would be here today if it weren't for this program. Because I've had medical issues, I've had, you know, who knows. But there are lots of things that could have happened that, you know, at least I wouldn't be standing here and I wouldn't be in the situation that I am today. So I'm really grateful for the program. We had lots of PRGs. We used to call them pressure groups, you heard before, and I was like, I don't need any more pressure. I can't have one of those, you know. But then found out that it was really pressure relief groups. And I didn't debt one day at a time. I really kind of grabbed onto the program right away. I didn't believe that it was possible not to debt, but by taking it a day at a time and doing the steps and having pressure relief groups, I didn't need to debt. And I kept a spending plan. And I wrote out my spending plan, and I think maybe partially because I didn't, you know, we didn't use computers all that much back in 96. That's amazing. That's only 12 years ago. But I still do my spending plan by hand today. And I do it because it's a meditation, and it keeps me grounded in my numbers. It keeps me knowing, taking time, seeing it as a priority, looking at those numbers every month and seeing, what am I doing, and is this how I want to be spending my money? So that's kind of stuck. So I didn't debt for while I was in the program for a really long time, except I started to feel like I didn't have enough. And I started to sit in the rooms, and I felt like maybe I'm not really a debtor, but I just feel like I don't have enough. And I remember going through month after month feeling like I just don't have enough. I don't have enough money in my spending plan. How can I do this, you know? And I started to, now I look back and I think, you know, that was debting. I started to pay my bills a little late. I got kind of lazy. Michelle talked a little bit about some of those, mid-year or whatever they're called, I don't know, mid-timers, lackadaisical kinds of things. And I see that I got into a lot of that. But then I got hope again through the World Service Conference. And I remember Christine and I were sitting in New York, and we talked about it. And she's like, well, why don't you could finish that degree? Because I believe that was another thing. I had started a degree, and I had quit because I decided I wasn't going to debt. And she was like, why don't you finish that degree? I'm like, I can't do it. And we decided, she kind of encouraged me that I could do it. And I could do it. And I started to go back to school and take classes. And eventually I did finish that degree without debting, or without incurring debt to go to school, I should say. Another one of my dreams was to go to Africa and work. And I didn't believe when I came into the program that I could do that without the degree while I went to Africa and worked without getting the degree. But in my lackadaisicalness, I got on the plane. It was just after the World Service Conference here, and then we did a lot of service work, and it was great, and I had just done another fourth and fifth step, and I landed in Switzerland, and I had plenty of money, And I decided I didn't have enough money and I didn't have a camera and I couldn't go to Africa without a camera. And I was going around and I hadn't slept. And I was going around Switzerland with a friend, or around Geneva or wherever it was. And I borrowed $30 from him to buy a camera. And I was tired and I was afraid. I was afraid I didn't have enough. And I had $1,600. And I had to borrow $30 for a camera. So it didn't click. But I guess one of the lessons in that is that when I'm tired and when I'm afraid and just not connected, those are times I have to be careful. And it is like a very cunning and baffling disease, because anytime I just have to be very cautious and watch my program and be with myself. So when I came back, I'm going to get on with this story here, but I came back with a lot of money in the bank, and I was going to finish school, and I lived on that money and finished school for 6 months, and I didn't want to work while I was finishing school because I had the money saved up. I had a prudent reserve, and I thought, I don't have to work, and I don't want to be an under-earner. And the only jobs I saw were like $10 an hour jobs, and I thought, I'm not going to work for $10 an hour. And so I didn't work. And I saw other people going to school and they were working, but I didn't think that I needed to because I had money. And I thought I was going to finish my degree and then I was going to get a job and then live happily ever after. And funny to my dismay, it came to be January. I finished school. Well, and I did take a part-time job during that time. And I thought I finally became willing to take a $10 an hour job, and it ended up being $14 an hour. So it's like you never know what's going to happen when you became willing. So I became willing, and I got a $14 an hour job part-time. And that job was going to end shortly, and it came January, and I didn't have a job. I had this part-time job that was going to end, and I didn't have any money. So I had started with almost $20,000 in June, and by January, it was zero. And so, or maybe it was 25. See, that's my vagueness again. I thought it was more, but I was looking the other day, and it was someplace between 15 and 20. Anyway, so I didn't have any money, and so I was faced with my under-earning. And I'd never thought of myself as an under-earner before. But all of a sudden, I had 2 master's degrees, and I didn't have any money. And I didn't have a job. I mean, it was just like, how can this happen? And I had applied for a couple jobs, and I think that was my magical thinking. Early on in the program, miracles happened, and I just thought this miracle was going to happen. But I didn't take the action steps that I needed, and I wasn't willing to work. I wasn't willing to work while I was during that time. And I remember I didn't know what I was going to do, and it was a really, really rough time for me personally. And I remembered in October I had gone for a test at HCM, or at Hennepin County. And I had gone into the bathroom, and this woman followed me in, and I walked out and did what I was going to do, and then did this test. And I came back and used the bathroom later, and I saw that the woman had stolen all the toilet paper. And that's February, when I had no money in March, I thought, I can see why she stole the toilet paper. I didn't have any money. And I got through that time without debting, and it was a miracle. And I didn't know from one day to the next how I was going to have enough. And I had major purchases. I ended up with a huge dental bill. I had a license to get. I didn't know how I was ever going to pay for those. But with getting a sponsor, temporary sponsor, and then working the steps around under-earning, I didn't have to debt during that time. I didn't debt. And somebody, I had heard on a tape once that if you debt before the very day that something is due, or the very moment, you're not waiting for the miracle. And I could really relate to that, because there were so many miracles. I didn't know where my money was going to come from, and then it came, because I was committed to not debting. And I remember I took this job, and I didn't want to take this job. I was offered this job correcting tests for $12, $11 an hour. And I was like telling my temporary sponsor, I don't need to take that job. You don't understand. I got in that room and I don't like it. You know, it feels weird. And she's like, well, how are you going to earn money? You don't have a job. I'm like, but I can't take that job. You don't understand. She's like, what are you going to do? You don't have a job. How are you going to earn your money? And I was like, okay, I guess I got to take that job, you know. And it turned out to be a really good job because it gave me the structure and consistency that I went at 8 and finished at 4:30 for $11.25 an hour. And I got to see a lot of under-earners there because you had to have a college degree, and there were a lot of other people in my situation doing the same thing. And it got me through that period of not having, that I didn't have to debt. And I tell you what, when I really learned that I was a debtor, when it came through and I got the job that I have now, just in time, my health insurance was going to run out. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And this job came up and it had insurance and it was a decent pay. Wasn't the profession that I wanted to be in, but it was my old profession. It was familiar. And I took the job and I started getting paid. And I carried around an Excel bill for $15 in my purse for a week. And I sent in that bill late. And I got a fee for it. And so I did it. Because I had believed once I got out of that situation, then I wasn't a debtor anymore. I mean, someplace inside of me, I thought, once I get a job, I'm done with this. You know, I didn't think I was going to quit the program, but I thought I was going to be free. And then I'm never going to be free of this. You know, it's just there. And I think that you do become more free. But I do become more free. But, you know, I'm never entirely free. It's a day at a time. So I'm going to hand out my spending plan is right there. I'm wondering if people want a spending and earning plan. I'll just give you you'll have to share. There's two sheets. There's one savings and one spending. And one of the things that I learned during that time is that during the time when I felt there isn't enough, I was thinking a spending plan. And what I learned during that time of learning about under-earning is the importance of savings, earning, and spending plan. And so now I remember John B. told me years ago, why don't you take $25 out of your check? There's two pages, and you'll probably need to share. There's a savings, and then there's a spending plan. And I remember John was telling me in pressure relief groups years ago, said, why don't you just take $25 out of your paycheck and have it directly deposited into a savings? And I said, yeah, that's a great idea, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't get myself to do it. And then when I started this job, I took $200 out of my paycheck every month. No, every pay period, I take $200 every pay period. So $400 goes into savings automatically that I don't even see. And it's a miracle because during all of my time in DA, I never saved. You know, I couldn't save money. I could save enough for a vacation, or I could save enough so if a big crisis happened, but I really couldn't save money. And so it's a miracle that I've been able to save any money. And I also put 14% towards my retirement because as a debtor, I kind of got a bit behind in putting money towards retirement. And so so that's where I'm at today is putting 14%. So this doesn't include all that. Let me just see. A couple of other things. You know, let's see, you can just look at, you know, the numbers really aren't important, but I sometimes will put in additional money needed. And I never could get that before because it's like, well, this is what I have to work with. But the job currently that I have now, I work per hour. And I never in my earning days ever realized that there was a connection between working and earning. I didn't know that if you work more, you could earn more. And because I always had salary jobs, so I didn't make that connection. And I never thought that I could take an extra job. It just seemed beneath me. And besides, I was too tired at the end of the day and da-da-da-da. You know, I always have these excuses. And now I see I can work more, and actually it takes less energy to work more than thinking about not having enough money. That takes a lot more energy for me than working more. And so I pick up extra shifts, and usually I put an intention when I don't have enough, what I perceive is not enough in my spending plan, I put out an intention of I'm going to get this extra shift. I work one call shift per 2 weeks, and I get paid more if I get called in. And so I just have an intention that I'm going to get called in for a certain number of hours, and it almost always happens. So that's... So I always put the additional money needed. And, I mean, I do have other, I can always adjust my spending plan if needed. So like I said, I do it by hand. And then the savings, I put a certain amount into savings, and I pray about that, too, on where the money goes into the different categories. I was going to say something about not enough. And I guess the question for me to ask, I was walking around Lake Harriet on Sunday, and I was thinking, you know, when I feel like there's not enough, I need to ask myself that question, what is it that I don't have enough of? You know, do I not have enough love? Do I not have enough companionship? Do I really not have enough money? And what is it? And then how can I fill that need within my means, within our means? And so, you know, maybe I feel like I need a great big long retreat. And I remember once I thought, I need a two-week yoga retreat. That's what I need. I'm so burnt out. And I didn't have money for it. And then I went up north for 4 days, and I got way more than what I would have gotten, you know, in that retreat, but it was within my means. Or maybe it's just a walk around Lake Harriet. Or maybe I used to do these artist things where I would just go to Northeast Minneapolis or wherever around town and act like I'm a tourist and do something. And I felt like I went on a vacation because I got to see things that I never saw before. And so I think that's really important, is what is it that I don't feel I have enough of, and how can I meet that within my means? And if it means money, then I need to work more. Maybe I need to earn more or be open to something else that the universe has for me. Let's see. There was a couple other things that I wanted to say really as kind of that I thought were important. Doing my spending plan, praying ahead. Did I tell you that? That a lot of times it will just come out exactly, especially when I started the program. I would pray, and then I would come to the dollar. It's like, how can you come out to the dollar? It's a miracle, you know? It's a miracle that that can happen. And, you know, I save in different accounts, and I kind of had a crisis this week because I decided I had a medical issue. Last year, I spent over $5,000 in medical stuff, and I had the money for it. And I have insurance, so it's like above and beyond. And I don't know if I needed all those things, but I felt I needed them at the time. And this year, I had said in one of the meetings that my goal is this year to not have to spend that much money on health, because I didn't necessarily save it for health, but then I ended up using it for that. And I had, you know, I still have a decent amount. So I had this health thing come up, and I was like, what is it that this is trying to tell me? And it's like, well, you need to live your life. You need to do more of who you are. And so I was like, well, what is it that I want? You know, what is it that I... And so it came up that I really am or need to do this one thing, this conference thing, or this sort of as a vacation. And it costs more than what I have in my travel fund. And so I kind of had a crisis about how much money I could afford, how much I could spend on it, and what I could do, because I didn't have in my plan to spend the amount that it was, but I do have enough money in my account to do it. And I won't deplete my whole account. You know, it'll be a portion. And so after talking with some people, I'm going to go, and I'm so excited that I'm going to go because I feel like I'm alive again, you know? It just, and I have the money. And so when you save money or you put in your plan, I realized, I don't know, I might think I'm saving it for these things, but maybe my higher power has another plan for me. You know, whatever it is, it's there. It's a miracle. Because I never could save money. You know, I was like going the other direction. And I don't have a lot in debt repayment because I don't have debt. I have a car, and I have a couple of people I want to make amends to. And so I put some money towards debt repayment to do that. And then I'm thinking I'm going to start paying off my car with the debt repayment. So I'm not putting a whole third in it, but I'm putting a little bit to keep that intention. And the other thing I learned when I came back from Africa is in my savings plan, I put things, like I said, in categories because I came back with $15,000 or $20,000. And I thought that money's to spend. You know, I didn't think, well, maybe I want to save $5,000 or $10,000 for a house and $10,000 for this and $10,000. And I think I would have worked if I had had it in categories. But since I didn't, I just thought it was free for all. And now I am choosing to switch some of this money around because I'm seeing this other thing as more of a priority. So, and then one last thing. I think I did say, did I say this? My under-earning, I learned that not working is more under-earning. This is my opinion, my humble opinion. And for me, under-earning by not working was much bigger under-earning than working for $10 an hour. So kind of like what Michelle said, is humble beginnings. And my spending plan is humble. I mean, it's not extravagant by any means. And I am a kind of a deprivation addict. I never got a cell phone until a month ago. And until I realized that it was holding me back from my recovery. And the same as a computer. I see by not having it, it really holds me back from connecting with people and doing things that I want to do. So, I guess that's all I have. Thank you so much for listening.
Hi, I'm Mary, and I'm a compulsive debtor, spender, and under-earner. And I'm going to be talking about spending plans and under-earning today. And I want to read the seventh tool, which is spending plans. The pressure relief meeting usually results in the formulation of a spending plan, which puts our needs first, and an action plan for resolving our debts and taking the first steps towards solvency. And one of the things that came to me as I started to prepare for this talk was, many times I see a connection between the tool, the step, and the tradition. And so I wanted to talk about the connections that I saw. The seventh step says, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And so I'm going to read a few prayers. God, please remove my under-earning and show me how to earn more money. God, please remove my poverty and deprivation mentality, which keeps my life small and unmanageable. God, please remove my fear of financial insecurity, my isolation, and make me ready to accept your help and the help of my pressure relief group. God, please help me consistently use my spending plan and to follow the action steps outlined by my pressure relief group. And then the seventh tradition says, every DA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Today, I really see Minnesota DA being self-supporting by putting on this fellowship day. Individual members are contributing their time and their effort and their money to reach out to the larger community with the message of hope for the still suffering debtor. And I see that all three of those are related, that in order to have a pressure relief group, it takes humility to come and sit with somebody else and to open up I think they talk about that the hardest things for people to talk about are sex, money, and religion. And I think for a lot of people, money is harder than sex and religion. And that it's really hard to open up my life and say, you know, here's what I have financially, and to really look at that at a deep level. It's just a very, very difficult. And then the seventh tradition, when I put money in the basket, you know, I'm showing up for the group, and I'm showing up with a willingness to contribute. So I have my spending plan, and it's back on a chair back there if a couple people would send them around, not spend them around. And I apologize for the poor quality of the handwritten numbers. But I made a copy and then made copies from the copy. And, of course, my shame would have me redo the copies, but so I'm showing up in my imperfection. Yay! So what I do is I've put together this this plan. It's in Word format, and the thing that I feel really has been helpful is there was a spending plan workshop that Minnesota DA put on sometime last year, and that going to that workshop has really tremendously helped, because what I got clear about is that I get paid every 2 weeks, so it's 26 times a year, and it just was really hard for me to have a month spending plan and get paid every 2 weeks. And I was always feeling like I was taking an extra $300 from the next pay period. And I actually sat on a PRG with one of the speakers who spoke at that, and then I also got a copy of her plan. And I really like it, because what it does is I decided to start living on two paychecks a month, and then those two extra paychecks are kind of like windfalls, and I can end up putting them into savings, or doing what I need to do with that, a third, a third, a third, or how I usually take it with my, either to my sponsor, to my PRG, and say, okay, now I've got this, I've got this windfall, and what am I going to do with it? So at the top, it shows you my income, and this was actually for the month of March, and my work sends me to different conferences, but I end up having to foot the bill before I go and then get reimbursed for it afterwards. And so, I'm also going to go to another conference in May. And so in order to pay for those, I had to take out $1,670 from savings and then get reimbursed for them later. So that shows up in the figures there. But it really helped me to see, if you look at the top, so I've got my fixed expenses, and for that first check of the month, I pay my second mortgage, my homeowners association dues, my spiritual tithes and meetings, heat, electricity, phone, trash, charter bill, and my debt repayment. And one of the things that I really want to celebrate today is that as of today, the only debt that I have is my mortgage. So I'm debt free. And that happened in the month of April, and the debt that I had taken out actually before I came into DA was I had taken out two debts against my life insurance policies. And I, if anyone would have told me that it would take me 14 years to pay off $6,000 in debt, I don't think I ever would have done it. But I'm a debtor, and I just was pulling money from every account that I could possibly think of after my divorce. And originally my payments were like $15 a month. And then I was able to move them up to $20 a month. And when I paid off my car and my daughter graduated from college, I increased it to $100 a month. And so I really feel like it's a spiritual accomplishment and victory that that was paid off. And then the other one, I was encouraged to just cash out. It was a very small life insurance policy, $1,000. And so they're both gone. It's very exciting. And then in my second pay period of the month, that's where I pay a smaller amount in spiritual tithes, still have money to put in the basket, and my mortgage payment. And then down below are my flexible expenses. And I'm not going to go through all of those. And then I've recently been asked by my sponsor to keep track of when my bills are due. And so on the back side of the page, these are the permanent bills that come every month, and to figure out what day are they due, and then to put down the date that I pay them so that I'm keeping track of that. And then I just wanted to show you, in order to get the numbers for that spending plan, you know, what do I do? And so I just have small notebook paper instead of actually having the notebook, because for a while I was carrying around a little purse that was about this big. And I managed to do all my money out of that little tiny purse. It was very exciting. And so I put this slip of paper in there, and I write down the date, and I write down what the money goes for, and I write down how much it is. And then when I go to reconcile it on my spending plan, I check it off on here. And then any checks that I write for fixed expenses, it goes into my check register. And it really has helped me be able to be, well, I shouldn't say that, but almost. because recently I did debt again, ended up having insufficient funds. And so my check register has really been kind of a source of pain for me as far as the program is concerned. But I think by really working more with cash and decreasing the number of checks that I write, I'm hoping that I'm going to be more able to. It's just cleaner when I go to reconcile my checkbook. It's simpler. I'm not making mistakes in addition and that type of thing. And I'm also being encouraged to keep a higher balance, because one of the things that I do as a debtor is that I wanted to build up that savings. And so I was putting as much money as I could in savings and keeping checking just small and tight. And that's, you know, if I make a mistake, then I have nothing there to cushion it from those NSF charges. And that's my debtor mentality is, you know, let's keep this small and so that I can save for those big things that I want. And guess what? That didn't work. And then I did talk a while. I didn't bring my savings plan, but I do automatically have $200 from every paycheck put into savings, and I have, again, a little slip that shows 10 different categories, and I put $20 into each of the 10 categories. And I recently, I'm very excited, 2 weeks ago, I bought new furniture. I've had the same furniture for 37 years that I bought in my marriage. I had slip covers on it for 7 years, and I bought a new sofa, two chairs, a coffee table, and end tables, and all from money that I saved by working a second job, and it was cash. And the lady was so excited and so helpful. She was like, this is so cool. I'm going to be telling everybody, not your personal name, but I'm going to be telling everybody about this client I had who did it the right way. You know, I was like, so it was sweet. It was very peaceful. I had a program friend help me come to my house and look at, you know, my furniture and look at my arrangement and help me figure out and went shopping with me. And it just has all just, it's just been easy. And I expected it to be big and traumatic. And I think I remember someone saying that, you know, about patience, you know, that it's important to have patience. And that's probably like about 5 or 6 years ago, and I thought that meant patience for like about 1 week, you know. and if I probably would have known that it would have been that long, I'm not sure I would have had the patience. But to me, it's different today than it was, you know, even 5 years ago, what that means. So I think that's what I have on spending plans. And I think we'll be open for questions.
Yeah, I think the question was, what is your structure around working a spending plan? Is that what you said? Okay. Well, I, like Mary, write down my numbers. You know, sometimes I'm better than others. Sometimes I save receipts, which I think it's better if you write it down right away. I mean, personally, I used to do that, and I do it sometimes, and, you know, sometimes it's a struggle. But I do keep my numbers, and then on the weekends, either Saturday, usually Sunday morning, I will sit down and add up the numbers on in the different categories out of the little notebook, and then I add for the week, and then I do that each week. And that keeps me kind of on track. You know, if I've overspent in one area or spend more, then I kind of look at, you know, I need to spend less the next week, or do I want to spend less in another category? I have used cash. Like when I had very little money, I used cash. And sometimes I use cash only, I mean, you know, like envelopes or whatever. And I don't do that consistently, or I'm not currently doing that. But I think that's a good plan. I always think I want to do that because I know it works. And let's see. And then I do my savings reconciliation about once a month, and also my checkbook once a month, and make sure I've got that all cleaned up. And I try to add in one thing I forgot to say is that I went with the $200 I put in every category usually, and then yeah. So anyway, that's kind of what I do.
I think we get the questions that we need to work on. my structure is, in regards to my spending plan, is that I'm very structured as far as writing down my money immediately when I spend it. If I don't write it down immediately, I can't remember a lot of times from the time I leave the store till I get to my car what amount of money I've spent. So if I don't do it right there, it's just not good. So I have that. I'm very structured about that, and also with writing checks. It's like I have to write it down right when I write the checks. In reconciling, not so structured. My biggest structure is in transferring that to my spending plan is that I my rule for myself is that I have to have it done before the next month so that I can see that I've reconciled for the month. So getting it from the register and the sheets of paper to the spending plan is I'm more on a monthly basis right now than I am a weekly basis. And I wish it were different, but I think that's what this question is probably helping me to see what I need to do.
Thanks, Mary and Renee. I wanted to add to that too. I have a Palm Pilot that I keep for my calendar and my contacts, and that has a financial area in it, and so that's where I write down all of my spending, and that's been really helpful because I sync it up with my computer, and then at the end of the month, I just print it out, and it's really slick. Okay, so here's another question. Mary, do you pay your bills on the due date or all at a time, all at one time during the month? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Two times every month. There you go.
What? Actually, I typically pay them two times during the month. So, what I'll do is as the bills come in, I have a spot for them in my where my desk is. And I will put the bills there, and right as I know that I'm going to be paid and I'm going to have to switch it because I have been writing the check the night before I get paid, and then the next morning when I go to work, I have put the bill into the mail after I've picked up the receipt from work that says that I've been paid. But I think I need to wait until and write them the night that I get paid rather than the night before I get paid. But and I know that a lot of people talk about in DA about writing the check and paying for the bill as it comes in as a spiritual practice. And I still kind of like to keep it so that I'm keeping my bills for March for April, I pay in March. You know, the ones that are due on the 1st, I'm paying it out of the last paycheck of the month. So, I don't think there's a right or a wrong about that. I think that people have to find what works for them. But it is, I know a lot of people use a spiritual practice to pay the bill when it comes in rather than waiting.
Any other questions? Anne? The question is, can you explain windfalls and what is meant by a third, a third, a third?
To me, a windfall is unexpected money that I wasn't planning on or that's not factored into my spending plan already. An example would be my tax refund. An example would be a gift of money that someone gives me. An example might be an extra job that I take in addition to my salaried job. Yes, the rebate check that's coming. So those are examples of windfalls. And then what DA recommends is that if you are getting a windfall, that you take a third of it for debt repayment, a third of it for savings, and a third of it to improve your current spending plan. In other words, and sometimes those windfalls can be the hardest for me because I can think of, 25 things before the check is in my hands, of how I want to spend it. And so for me, when I get a windfall, it's often very important for me to talk to my sponsor or talk to my PRG. What am I going to do with that? Especially if it's a big number. If I'm getting a fairly big windfall. If I just leave it to my own thinking, I spend a lot of time, like Renee said, it's easy to spend a lot of more time worrying about money than it is to earn it. It's also easy to spend a lot of time spending the money without really spending it, And that's what I do as a debtor. Yes, although I'm now at the luxury of being able to go halves. So I'm going to be able to put half in savings and the other half is going to go to increase quality of life, which is very exciting.
Okay, there's one more question. Do you have just one savings account for all of your savings categories? And if so, do you then keep track of each category through your record keeping? So again, do you have just one savings account for all of your categories? Do you want to talk about that, Renee?
Sure.
Yeah, I handed out my thing on savings plan or savings account. I happen to have two accounts in addition to the retirement accounts, but I don't know that that's the best thing. I kind of started juggling because I would take a little bit of money out of one, and then it wasn't. I've been saving for a long time for some purchases, and then finding out that maybe some of the money was in another account or something. Anyway, so I have the two accounts. One is I put prudent reserve and house, and then the third was Christmas or gifts or long-term gift type of things, because those are things that I'm not going to spend over the year or that I'm not intending to spend. And I think my goal is to put that in like a better account. I haven't into an interest earning account, maybe like a 6-month earning account or something like that. And then my other account is in the same bank as my checking account, so that if I do need money for a medical bill, then I can just call it in, call over the phone and change it over to the other account. And I do put in, was it different categories? Was that the other question, part of the question? Yeah, I do. And I really pray about where I'm going to put them in categories or talk to other people about it. And like I said, some of the some of the money that I earned last year that I had put into accounts for certain things, I ended up having to use for medical bills or because I didn't have that specifically targeted for that. So it is a plan, and I guess it's adjustable. No, I really wanted to be rigid with it because I like to have control, and that makes me feel like I have control, but I don't. So, I think that having it in categories helps me, because otherwise it sounds like it's this great big amount of money, but, you know, maybe it's only $1,000 for something or, you know, $500 for something that's going to cost a lot more. So that helps me to know where I'm at. And then when I get in money, I will, like I did on my income tax, the things that were more important, I put more on the bottom there. I put more money towards the things that were important to me. I didn't split it up in a third just because I've been waiting for a computer. I've been saving for a laptop for years. And so it's like really important for me to not feel deprived, to just get that. And so I haven't gotten it yet, but I have enough money for it. Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay, thanks a lot, Mary and Renee. Really appreciate it.